This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قاتقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah. He is entitled to all of our praise and gratitude. We ask Allah for forgiveness for our shortcomings and mistakes. We ask Allah for guidance, and we ask Allah for protection. We bear witness that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his last and final messenger. O Allah, we beg you to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations, and his family and his companions and all of those who follow his tradition, his sunnah, until the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers dozens of times in the Quran, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah also calls out to mankind, humans in general, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these calls is calling us and reminding us and commanding us to have taqwa of Him, to increase in our piety, in our awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our consciousness, to not be in a state of heedlessness, to remember and be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of our thoughts and statements and actions at all times. In the course of our lives, we go through many different challenges, as is known to all of you. And some of these challenges require a strong response. They require an effort to cause some kind of positive change, to change a situation. However, there are other challenges that we face and experience in our lives where the response should be acceptance, where causing some kind of change is beyond the scope of our ability. Oftentimes, when we don't realize and recognize the difference between these two situations, so we find ourselves in a situation that requires acceptance, but we want to change. So we end up being miserable. And sometimes we are in a situation that necessitates from us change, but we just throw our hands up in the air and accept things as they are, so we find ourselves miserable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran informed us of a gave us a statement of fact, a reality of the human experience, some things that are beyond our scope of ability to change. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if your Lord had willed such, He could have made all the human beings, the entire human creation, one uniform community, similar in everything, ummatan wahida. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, and that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned for this creation. So Allah says, but that's not the reality. The reality is, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. But the reality of the matter is that people will always be different. They have always been different since the very first human beings created, and they always will have differences. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. They will differ and dispute with one another. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. Except in those situations where they have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah concludes the verse by saying, and that's exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. There is a purpose and a wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation of the human beings in such a way. And it is our job to recognize and accept that. The fact that we will always have differences in so many ways, not just in our physical appearance, our racial differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs, اِخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ the differences between you in your tongues and the languages that you speak and in the complexions of your skin. Different races, different tribes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَرَفُوا we made you into different nations and tribes. You have different cultures, you have different customs. Also, there are differences in our intellect. We understand things in a different way. We learn in different paces. We absorb information and process it in different ways based on our different life experiences. All of this contributes to our, they say, diversity. Now, one thing that's very interesting is when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's community, was it a community in which everyone was exactly the same? Absolutely not. There were tribal differences, there were even cultural and ethnic differences, and there were personality differences. And we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the leader and as the manager of that community, and anybody who is in a position of management, no matter how big or how small, even if it's only at the level of your family, take this lesson from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah analyzed the personalities of the sahaba, of the companions in his community, and put each person in a position that was appropriate for their abilities and their strengths and weaknesses. Some of the companions had certain abilities that allowed them to be put in positions of leadership, for example. Others were not. And that doesn't mean that they are lesser in virtue or in value. Take for example the Sahabi Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, who was one of the early companions, who was one of the closest companions to the Prophet ﷺ, a very noble and virtuous companion of the Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah told Abu Dharr, don't you ever be, if you're ever in a group of two, don't you ever be the manager or the leader amongst them. Very straightforward. Does that mean that he was a bad person? No. It just means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood this person's personality and their character traits, their strengths and their weaknesses, and guided them to be in a position that would help them to succeed. If we put people in positions where they don't have the ability to fulfill the rights of that position, we have set them for failure. And we shouldn't blame them so harshly when they inevitably don't achieve what we expect of them. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ in his community recognized these differences and dealt with the Sahaba in a manner that was most appropriate. They say about a civilization, a community, and we can understand from this even on a micro level, our families. But they say that a civilization is healthy when it can attain diversity and maintain unity. One of the ways that they describe a healthy civilization, a healthy community, is one that can attain diversity, but one that can maintain unity. Does the fact that we have differences between us necessitate that we must fight and we must collide and we must have quarrels where people are hurt or people are abused? That doesn't have to be the case. And there is a very important pair of character traits that every single believer should try to attain so that they can have this kind of unity in the face of a diverse circumstance. And we learn these quality traits from the beautiful story of one of the Sahaba by the name of Al-Ashajj ibn Abd al-Qais. This man, Al-Ashajj ibn Abd al-Qais, was part of a convoy that went to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his tribe. They were 13 in number. And they went to go visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the city of Medina to learn about Islam and to accept Islam and to learn the teachings of the Messenger of Allah and go back to their people and teach and apply it. So this man, Al-Ashajj ibn Abd al-Qais, by the way, just to give you some fast forwarding into the story, after he returned back from his trip to Medina, his wife was speaking to one of the family members and was saying that, "I've noticed something has changed about this man Al-Ashajj. Ever since he went to visit that city of Medina, he's come back and something is different about him." They said, "What is different?" She said, "You know, every so often throughout the day, يَغْسِلُ أَطْرَافَهُ وَيَنْحَنِي. Every so often throughout the day, I see him washing his limbs and then bending and bowing over." So let's backtrack. So this is something that happened to him. This became his habit after returning back, which means he must have learned wudu and salah from the Messenger of Allah. But even before meeting the Messenger of Allah, we see that he had some good quality traits. When they arrived in Medina with his friends and companions of travel, everybody hastened to go meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all rushed. When they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerge and walk to the masjid, they all rushed and hastened to go and meet with him. But this one man from that group, Al-Ashajj ibn Abd al-Qais, he did not do so. But rather he stayed behind and he unloaded the weight from his animal and he opened his baggage and he took out clean clothes. He tied his animal securely. He went and took a shower and then he put on clean clothes and then he went to go meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By then, everyone from his group had already been circled around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting there listening attentively. But when he entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called upon him. He entered clean, presentable, refreshed, attentive, smelling nice, looking good, as opposed to everyone else in his group that hadn't taken the time to cleanse themselves or prepare themselves for this meeting. So although it may seem that he came late for the gathering, but the Prophet ﷺ called upon him and said, "Come and sit next to me." Didn't want him to be in the back of the crowd. He said, "You come and sit next to me." فَأَجْلَسَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ sat him beside him. And he said to him something so beautiful. The Prophet ﷺ analyzed his behavior, was very observant, and was able to extrapolate some important character traits from this man. And the Prophet ﷺ not only praised him for it, but also taught those that were sitting, and taught all of us to embody these character traits. Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. You have two character traits that Allah and His Messenger love. You have two character traits that Allah and His Messenger love. Al-hilmu wal-ana. Al-hilmu wal-ana. Forbearance and composure. And back to our topic of being able to reconcile our differences and maintain our unity in the face of our differences, you cannot do that without moderation and tolerance. Composure leads to moderation. Forbearance leads to tolerance. To not be hasty, to not rush in conclusions about others, but have the forbearance, have the tolerance, have the moderation in behavior, in thought, and in speech to be able to communicate our differences without fighting and quarreling and attacking one another. And if we as a community, or if within our families, are not able to get to that point, then we are a group, we are a family, we will be a community, a civilization that has not yet reached civility or maturity. I ask Allah to make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they hear. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله. After thanking and praising Allah and beseeching Him to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations, we again remind one another of the main purpose of our gathering here. Allah said in the Quran, we have commanded those before you, the nations before you, and you as well, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in light of talking about this issue of our differences, Allah has so plainly and clearly in the Quran informed us that as human beings you will differ and you will dispute. So how can we learn from the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can we learn from the best of speech, the speech of Allah, the Quran, and the best of guidance, the guidance of our messenger? How can we disagree with one another without severing ties and relations, without damaging our connections, and without hurting our families and our communities? First and foremost, we must understand and distinguish between that which is static and that which is subject to change. الثوابت والمتغيرات. In this religion, in the Sharia, the scholars have taught us there are some aspects of the religion that are static. We must agree upon them. No two people can differ upon them. Basic tenets of theology, of agreeing on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is supremely deserving of our worship, and that we should seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do. Recognizing the prophethood and the messengers, and recognizing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a source of mercy to all mankind, it is in our best interest to learn and follow him. Recognizing the authenticity and the importance and the value of the speech of Allah, the Quran. These are some examples of some basic fundamentals that we must agree upon. But it's not only about theology. It's also about our human interactions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as human beings who have social dealings. We may differ on issues of politics, for example, whether locally or abroad. And so many of our quarrels and our disagreements are politically motivated. But we cannot disagree about issues, for example, like the sanctity of life. That every human life must be respected and dignified. And that when there is any oppression or abuse, that we first and foremost make a priority the preservation of people's life and family and dignity. These are things that are not open to difference or disagreement. However, there are a vast array of other issues that the scholars refer to as al-mutaghayyirat, as issues that are subject to change, as issues that can allow for a difference of opinion, a valid difference of opinion. So many times our arguments and our disputes are really unnecessary, because it's perfectly fine to agree to disagree in certain matters. So how can we really distinguish between that which is static and that which is subject to change? That can only be attained through ilm, through knowledge, seeking of knowledge. It's not a coincidence that in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah said, those that believe and those that increase in knowledge, Allah will raise them up in levels. They will be elevated. Why? Because a person, the more they increase in knowledge, the more they will also grow in wisdom. Then they will be able to recognize, this is something that I must challenge, and this is something that I must accept. And in the very beginning we said, if we accept what should be challenged, we will be miserable. And if we challenge what we should accept, we will be miserable. So let us take this as a reminder and an opportunity that we always have more to learn and increase in our awareness and knowledge. Let us do our homework and our research before arguing so passionately about something. And on the topic of knowledge, we learn from the great scholars of this ummah. As Imam Shafi'i said, it is not appropriate or befitting for anyone to seek knowledge for the purpose of arguing. That is not sincerity in seeking knowledge. If a person is learning so that they can take that information and use it as ammunition to hurt other people, that is not knowledge that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, we have to recognize the difference between what is static, what must be consistent and constant, and what is subject to change. And for that we need knowledge, and we need to maintain close ties to places and people of knowledge. Number two, there is an individual responsibility upon all of us to make sure our intentions are sincere. If the intention is not sincere, when we are disagreeing or differing with someone else, then only damage will come out of that disagreement. Especially in issues of family ties. In the Quran, Allah so plainly put, talking about the marital relationship, when spouses quarrel and they disagree, and how common that is in society and in our community, and how damaging it can be to people and to children and to entire families. Allah said, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they truly desire islah, if they truly are seeking to have rectify between them, Allah will grant them success. Allah will grant them success. And that success is either to continue in that union in a merciful manner, or to separate in a merciful, just manner. إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they are truly seeking for things to get better, if their intention is sincere, you will find success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that quarrel, in that difference. But if the intention is to hurt the other, to win, to one up, then there will not be tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot expect that. Allah has laid it out very plainly in the Quran. So number two is the individual responsibility that we make sure we have good intentions. And our intention is not to hurt or to win or to abuse the other. And number three, we should never make our differences between one another personal. It should never escalate to the point where it becomes personal. And if it does, then that is a sign of hypocrisy. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned some signs of a hypocrite. And of those signs, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. When that hypocrite, or the person that has hypocrisy within them, when they differ, when they find themselves in a disagreement, they insult. They become inappropriate with their words. They hurt feelings. They say that which is unnecessary to cause pain and to damage the reputation of the other. That is a sign of hypocrisy. So we should never let it become personal, but rather we should be focused on seeking a resolution and coming to a common ground, or at least understanding one another in a merciful way. And the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever does not leave one of these characteristics of hypocrisy, then that aspect of hypocrisy will remain in their heart until they rid themselves of it. Until they are able to rid themselves of it. From the art of communication, we are taught that the person is more important than the point. The person is more important than the point. We should not argue so much that we end up hurting that relationship or hurting the person we are communicating with. As a matter of fact, arguing in and of itself is not praiseworthy in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, I promise and I guarantee a house in Jannah for the one that leaves arguing, even if they are right. But I'm right. I must prove my point. You don't have to prove your point. It is not a necessity. And oftentimes, silence is more efficient than continuing to argue. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, and we want to be of those that believe in Allah on the last day. Rasulullah said, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Then either say something good, positive, or stay quiet, or remain silent. And finally, let us always keep our hearts open to the potential and the possibility of forgiving. Nobody was hurt more than Rasulullah ﷺ. By his own family, by his own tribe. hurt and abused in every manner possible that you can imagine. Yet many, many years later, when he returned to Mecca in a state of power and authority, and the conquest of Mecca had come to an end, he asked the people, "What do you think I'm going to do with you?" They said, "Akhun Karim, ibn Akhin Karim. All that we know about you is a kind brother, son of our kind brother." And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go, you are forgiven. You are forgiven." That is our beloved Messenger. That is what he taught us. It is in our best interest to embody his tradition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn and beautify us with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to show us the truth clearly as truth and help us to follow it. We ask Allah to show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and protect us from it. And O Allah, we ask you to protect us from confusion that will lead us astray. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, we ask you for the best of this life and the best of the hereafter. And we ask you, O Allah, to protect us from the torment of the hellfire. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح.